Thank you, ladies. The mother-daughter duet. Amen. Very good, ladies. God bless you. You got the special tonight. Come on down and sing for us. Mark 6. Mark 6. You find that chapter in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to pick up where we left off last Wednesday night. I have 10 lessons on building character in kids. They are just as good for the girls as they are for the boys. And I appreciate those of you who are beyond the children at home stage in life. I appreciate you being faithful on Wednesday nights and kind of teaching some of these things that apply now to the younger couples and families. But hope that, I just appreciate your faithfulness. I really do. It means a lot to me. So we'll hear a good song, and then we'll get into Mark 6. Okay. Song. It'll be reality someday, won't it? That'll be a blessing. Wonderful song. I appreciate all the folks that sing special music. I appreciate the new voices God has given us. It's a blessing to have new blood come in and sing. But I appreciate those that have just been singing for years and years and years, still singing. Amen. I mean that. I think about Donna and Glenda and Beth. I think about some of the others. I know I'm missing somebody. Tom's been singing a long, long time now. Those of you, God bless you. And I'm missing some. I shouldn't do that. But, you know, some of those were singing when I came. And still at it today. And that blesses my heart. I mean that. Pam and her trio, and just a blessing. I mean that with all my heart. So thank you, all of you that do special music. It takes practice. It takes work. It takes just making an effort to be a blessing. And it sure adds to the service. That was a blessed song tonight. All right, we're going to build character into boys, okay? And not only into boys, but into young ladies as well. And trying to build some into men too, amen? Like Brother Bibbs back there, all right? So, amen? And now, there's Brother Bibbs. I got the note under my door that was half anonymous. I was in my Sunday school class two Sundays ago. I reached in my pocket to use my knife for illustration, my little blue knife, and it was gone. And I just remarked to my Sunday school class, man, I lost my knife. That's all I said. And so at the end of the day, Sunday, two Sundays ago, this knife was under the door of my office. That's a nice knife. I don't know who put it there. And I mentioned this past Sunday that this is, you know, man, I lost my knife, and the one that somebody gave me is twice the size of the one I had. And I said, I lost $100 this week, folks. And, you know, so Sunday night, here's this envelope under the door. Pastor, from your Sunday school class, we were so burdened that you lost $100. We wanted to do something about it. There were two $100 bills from Monopoly game. It sure did look like somebody's writing that. So, I know what the Bibbs kids gave up, the two $100 bills on their Monopoly game. Thank you. So, but anyway. So, anyway, I got twice the knife and I got $200, amen, out of that deal. So, that was a blessing. All right. Mark 6:3. I'm sorry. You're welcome. Amen. Mark 6:3. Thank you. Mark 6:3, talking about Jesus, the Pharisees, Sadducees. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and so forth and so on, the brother James, so forth? Is not this the carpenter? We talked last week. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for church. Bless us tonight. This is so simple, so practical. I pray, God, it would be of some help to especially those with elementary school children and younger in their homes. And then, Lord, the rest of us as well. Give us help, I pray, in building character in the young lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We said last week that before Jesus ever healed anybody, before he ever preached a sermon, before he worked a miracle, he was evidently the apprentice, a carpenter's apprentice, working with his earthly guardian, Joseph, in the carpentry shop. He was learning a trade, and part of that, of course, would be building character into Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 2, that Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That word stature deals with maturity. He matured. Now, if you don't have character, you're going to have a hard time being a mature person. You know, maturity does not come at 18. Sometimes maturity comes before 18. Unfortunately, sometimes it comes way after age 18. Okay? Doesn't happen when you just turn 18, flip a switch, and all of a sudden you have character. And we've been talking about the fact that building character in the kids, if you wait till they're 17 to start, you're way too late. You're 10 years too late. Okay? You've got to start when they're 7, 8, and 9. Jesus drove forward. He put it in drive in the area of increasing in wisdom and maturity and in favor with God and favor with man. And I wanted to give you 10 practical lessons on building character into young people. I believe with all my heart that the sin of laziness, there are more kids that are casualties because of the sin of laziness than the sins of immorality. I believe that with all my heart. Okay? So we're talking about building character into boys, girls, kids, okay? Remember, 17 to 19 is too late. I gave you four of them last week. I'm going to go till we run out of time. And if I finish early, fine. If not, we'll finish it up some other time. I'm just going to go over the four that I gave you last week. Remind you, number one, teach them. All these have a scriptural principle behind them. Teach them to take care of their things. That's Proverbs 18:9. Teach them to take care of their things. Number two, do not allow them to constantly ask for things they want. There's a difference in things they need and things they want. Okay? You can't let them develop the mentality that if I want something, all I got to do is ask for it and I get it. First of all, they need to be told no sometime. No, you can't have that. Okay? No, you can't have that. But then there are things that they need. Those are legitimate. And God-fearing and loving dad wants to always provide the needs for his family. But we got a generation today just believes they can get anything they want. Part of the reason is they wanted the toy when they were two in Walmart, and they pitched a fit until they got the little stuffed animal. Then they pitched a fit at 4 years of age and got what they wanted. Pitched a fit at age 5, 6, and 7, and that's how they've grown up. All I got to do to get what I want is pitch a fit. That's why they go to the streets and riot. Carry on. And if this thing does sink, if the economy does sink, they're going to go somewhere to get what they want. Now, they'll go somewhere to get what they want. I'm going to tell you, I was over here when we cleaned out the church storage shed. We cleaned out Ben's storage shed over here at Central Storage. And the lady said, we've had break-ins. She asked me if anything was missing. I said, no. She said, we've had a lot of units broken into. She said, that borders Birch's trailer park, mobile home park. She said the people came, crawled underneath the trailers, and cut the copper pipes out of those mobile homes. Just 2 weeks ago. Now, they're going to get money somewhere, folks. Now, my suggestion to you, before this thing gets real bad, is get a gun. And I'm dead serious about that. Get a couple of them if you can. Learn how to shoot it. Learn how to use it. That's just my suggestion to you. I think you ought to be armed. You have the right to bear arms and protect yourself according to the Constitution of the United States. Don't let anybody ever tell you you don't have that. That's not talking about militia. That's individual rights. Okay? And somebody came into our yard last Thursday night in the middle of the night. We were asleep, knocked my son's window out of his car, and got into his trunk. They were trying to steal his drugs, but he had them hid real good, so they didn't find him. Amen. But they knocked the back window out, went through the window, and into the trunk. Didn't bother anything else. He had a big thing of change. Didn't bother that. Didn't bother the stereo. Went into the car and into the trunk. In those Grand Prix, they have a back seat entrance to the trunk. The seat flops down. You can crawl in there. He had a pair of boots and a Bible in his trunk. They don't have much use for Bibles. But it makes me mad that somebody was on my property at night and busted a window out of my son's. I wished I'd have heard them, but it was cool. Windows shut, doors shut, didn't hear anything. I would have had a lot of fun. Come on. That shotgun y'all gave me? Can you hear that in the middle of the night? Boy, I would love to hear that. You love to do what you get to. Remember watching all those cop shows when you were, get out. I'd love to do that just one time, you know. Screaming, holler, on your face. You know, I'd love it one time. Shoot your legs out if you move. But anyway, how do I get on? What's that got to do with don't give them what they want? If we teach them they can have what they want for nothing, they're going to get it somehow. Okay. Number three, they need something to do that requires consistency. They need something to do that requires consistency. Music lessons, hint, hint. Music lessons, hint, hint. Learn to be a blessing in the church orchestra, hint, hint. Got to practice every day, hint, hint. That's good. Good opportunity, folks. They need something to do that requires consistency. They need something to do that they need to do day after day after day after day that's monotonous, that's sickening, that's got to be done day after day after day. You know why farmers have a lot of character? Because livestock don't take a vacation. Animals don't take any days off. It's just the same thing, redundant, over and over and over and over and over again. And most of you folk don't live on a farm. Most of you folk don't have access to a farm. You know, God's been good to my boys that way because they were able to go down the road just, you know, 0.2 miles. And it was the same thing night after 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 night. And what glory is there in mucking out a stall? Not a lot of glory in that. But it'll build character. Right. So find something that requires consistency and teach. These folks can't hire people. They show up 2 days and they're gone. Right. If they show up 2 days, that's a benefit. It's nuts. So we want to do something different. We want to rear some young people that put something into society and not drain it. Amen. Number four, they should work hard when no one is looking. That's Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. They should work hard when no one is looking. Number five, here's a new territory tonight. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We're talking about building character into kids. Proverbs 22, verse 13. Proverbs 22 and verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Isn't that a crazy thing to say? Here's the lesson. Watch out for kids who make excuses to get out of work. Watch out for kids who make excuses to get out of work. Why does this man imagine that there is a lion in the street? Well, the Bible says he imagines that because he's slothful. He's lazy. He's going to create a reason not to go out in the street. Well, there might be a lion out there. I'd get killed. It's an ignorant thing to say. A diligent man, a man with character, would never make such an excuse. Excuses sound foolish to everyone but the person making them. Isn't that true? And they should be so serious about the excuse and think it's so legitimate. And you and I just look at them and it's unbelievable. So, and kids, the children, the kids, they'll find, if you got a child that is tending to be, now look, laziness, there's a degree of laziness in everybody. How many degrees, it varies from child to child. I got some kids that are aggressive and I got some kids that are passive. That's the way it is. But you can't let those passive kids be lazy. And they'll find an excuse. I got to noticing one time that one of the girls, the routine is after supper, the girls help mom clean the kitchen. And sometimes they do it for mom. Many times they do it for mom. That's the routine. When we're done, they start gathering dishes. They get them over to the sink and they get them clean. And I got to noticing one of our girls would always end up in the bathroom. Bathroom, the fan, you know, the exhaust fan, I could hear it running and running. And it was night after night after night after night after night after night. Isn't that amazing? I don't know anybody that consistent. Excuse me. Some things come out before you think. I should not have said. Night after night after night. Finally, I said, No. This is not necessary. This was a way out of work. That's what it was. It was diversion. So, took care of that, you know. Now it's better. That's the thing I'm talking about. Looking for a way to get out of you think for a minute, if you've got multiple children, you might have one or two that are constantly always skirting it. Always skirting it. Trying to find a way to get out of it. Well, I got this. So you got to be careful not to let that happen. Watch out for ones who make excuses to get out of work. Number six, teach them to keep their bedrooms in order. Teach them to keep their bedrooms in order. This is Proverbs 24. You're right there. Look at verse number 30 and 31. Proverbs 24, verses 30 and 31. The Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Teach them to keep their bed. Chaos and disarray characterized this man's vineyard. Now, why was it in chaos? Why was it in disarray? Because he was lazy. He went by the field of the slothful. The Bible doesn't say he went by the field of the unintelligent. The Bible doesn't say he went by the field of the handicapped. He went by the field of the slothful. The reason this man's vineyard was in chaos and disarray was because he was lazy. Now, your child doesn't have a vineyard, but they do have a bedroom. And I know, we can talk about, well, you know, boys aren't as neat as girls. No, they're not as neat as girls, but they're not pigs. They're not pigs. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Some of what I've seen, it's just not, it's inexcusable. It's not necessary. Okay, there's a difference in a boy not being fastidiously clean and neat like a girl and just a boy being a pig. And there's no reason for that. The reason bedrooms are in chaos and disarray is because boys are lazy. They need to pick up their dirty clothes. They need to know where it goes. The care and cleaning of that room should be their responsibility. It wouldn't hurt the boy to be responsible to clean his bedroom. It doesn't hurt the boy to vacuum the floor. You know, we always complain. We don't have anything for our boys to do. And the boys are sitting around punching video buttons while the girls are cleaning the whole house. Why can't a boy push a vacuum? Why can't a boy get some end dust and some pledge and get his furniture cleaned up? And why can't a boy do something? Why can't a boy, when things pile up, laundry piles up, why can't a boy do some laundry? We complain about what we don't have, overlook what we do have. They need to be taught to keep their bedrooms in order, you know. And obviously, I've said it again, I'll reiterate, I'm not trying to feminize the boys. They don't need to be fastidious, clean, have little lace doilies on their dressers and all that stuff. What's the matter? Eric was punching Robert. I mean, Robert was punching Eric. Has he got lace doilies? You got lace doilies in your bedroom, Eric? Good. I saw Robert doing like this. I thought, man. By the way, thank you for fertilizing the lawn the other day. I appreciate that. Appreciate it. A lot of things get done around here by folks that just do it. It sure makes a big help in a church, doesn't it? Makes a big help. Teach them to keep their bedrooms in order. That's very, very simple. Same scripture, verses 32 and 33, number 7. Do not allow them unlimited sleep. Look what it says here. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little too much. Now, in our society, in some cases, you almost got the other end of that extreme. The body is made to rest. Okay? And people need to get the proper amount of sleep. But a little too much sleep, a little too much slumber will develop poor character. I think I said a couple weeks ago, a matter of getting up, there ought to be a time to go to bed and a time to get up. I want to say something. I am concerned about how many tired teenagers I see in our academy. Now look at me. I was unsaved. Now, do you know what that means? And I was not tired in class. I don't ever remember sleeping through a high school class. And I was unsaved. And that means sometimes I had nightlife that I shouldn't have had. But I didn't sleep in class. I got boys that can't stay awake. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're staying up on the internet, if they're playing video games, if their moms and dads just aren't paying attention, but they need to have time to go to bed. I don't know what it is. Now, Bible college is a different story. I got a few notebooks with. But high school? I mean, I don't know. I never talked to you guys about it, but that's how it was when I was in the school a little bit more than I have been the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I mean, just too tired to stay awake. Okay, so parents, where'd we ever get the mentality, 17, 18, well, they can do what they want now. I mean, maybe they don't have to check in at the exact moment every night when they get to be 17 or 18, but there ought to be some parameter. You be in bed by X. Okay? And get in bed. And get some sleep. Okay? But anyway, a little too much sleep, a little too much slumber, that's on the other end of the thing, but a little too much sleep, a little too much slumber goes the wrong way. Now, time to get up, that's up to you. But they need to have a time to get up. Summertime's coming. No school to be at 8:30. Boys, they shouldn't be in bed at 8:30. Now, that's my opinion. You're going to set the time you think, but I'm telling you what, anything after 8 o'clock just drives me nuts. I remember Brother Fugit, Ms. Ross here, I remember Brother Fugit, you know, and Brother Fugit gave the testimony in a couple of sermons. I heard him preach different times. He said, you know, he went to Brother Vineyard. He said, Brother Vineyard, he said, our church is growing, and he said, I don't have enough time. I got to get this done, this done, this done, this done, this done. I got a wife. I got these four boys. I think it's four boys and a girl, or three boys and a girl. And now another. I got this. I got this. I got this. And he was looking for Brother Vineyard to say something like, "Well, son, you got to give something up, or you better delegate some responsibility." Brother Vineyard just sat there and listened. You know, and said, "What do you think, Brother Vineyard? Sounds like you better get up earlier, Brother Jeff." That's what his own told him. And I'll be honest with you, our church is not the size of Brother Fugit's, but I was almost going to talk to the staff in devotions about this morning. I can feel this church growing. I can feel it. Do you understand? I mean, the bigger it gets, the heavier it gets. I can feel it. And the demands on your time. And the obligations in speaking and so forth, and preparing for that speaking, it makes you get up early. And if you love sleep, if you love it, I love a good night's sleep, but I need to get enough and then get up. And you got to determine the same thing. And I'm not talking about being cruel, but I'm just talking about this unlimited sleep. And maybe it's more of the sleep schedule: stay up till 1, sleep till 9. Well, they're only getting 8 hours. It's the wrong 8 hours. Does that make sense to y'all? We're talking about building character into kids. Number 8, they should not have to be reminded to do simple chores. Look at chapter 26. You're right there. Chapter 26, verse number 15. This is an amazing thing. And notice, it's always the slothful. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. Now, this man is so slothful, he doesn't even want to bring his hand to his mouth. It grieves him to do the simplest task. How simple is that? But it grieves the lazy man. The teaching here is, folks, it grieves the lazy man to do the simple tasks. Now, here's a sure sign that you've got a problem with a lazy teenager. If they resent being asked to do the simplest chores, if they roll their eyes and sigh when you ask them to do the simplest chores in the house, you got a teenager tending toward laziness. Right. Honey, can you take out the garbage for me? I did it last night. Isn't it so-and-so's turn? Come on. Taking out the garbage? Doesn't get much simpler than that, folks. Can you go to the garage and get this for me? The Bible says the lazy man resents even the simplest chores. So what do you do when you got a child? First of all, you don't wait till they're 17. You start at age 7. You start at age 8 and teaching them that, hey, there's the things that got to be done. You know, they're always, the lazy teenager always wants to know why they have to do this. Why do I have to do that? Why does that need to be done? That's tending toward laziness. Okay? Number 9, I'd like to finish this and pray and get a few announcements in. Number 9, idle time must be minimized. Idle time must be minimized. Look at chapter 19. We're right there. Chapter 19, verse 15. All these scriptures are so close together. Chapter 19, verse 15. Idle time must be minimized. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Idle time must be minimized. This is difficult, folks. This is difficult. And one of the things that I always, this time of the year, when our kids were little, in March, April, May, and summertime's coming, and there's not going to be a school schedule, and I always agonized, what am I going to do to keep these kids And I had the advantage of, you know, I had the advantage of the farm. Pick up sticks. I can't tell you how many hours Ben picked up sticks. And Luke's done the same. Picked up sticks. Picked up sticks. There's not much glory in picking up sticks. But it's better to be outside in the heat picking up sticks than punching the buttons on the video thing. It's not idle time if they're out picking up sticks. One year he tore part of his barn down, John did. And had Ben just pull the... I said, John, can Ben come up and pull nails? He said, I'm just going to burn the wood. I said, I don't care. Can he pull the nails first? Yeah. And he and Abby pulled nails. What did they do with the wood when they got the nails pulled? Burned it. Well, that was a waste of time. I don't think so. That's not idle time. Idle time is this. Pulling nails is not idle time. And what would you have done if you hadn't had the farm down the road? I don't know. I'd have had to do something. And I wish I had answers for everybody. But you can think of something and you pray about it. God will help you and God will give you ideas. You know, clean the shed out. You know what, son? I'd like for you, instead of the way you got it, I'd like for it to put this over here on this side. Can you move that for me? Well, Dad, I know I made a mistake. Just switch it, would you? I don't create something. It's better than sitting on a couch. Idle time needs to be a minute. Bored teenagers are unproductive and unfulfilled. Bored teenagers get into trouble. And if there's nothing physical for them to do, put a book in their hand. And get a book report out of them. I'm not their teacher, I'm their parent. Oh, you're not? Oh, you're not. Where did that come from? I think we are kind of responsible for their education. Idle time must be minimized. I mean, work at it. You know, you're not going to be... Brother Angel, did your kids ever have to spend an idle day? Oh, yeah, too many. I'm not talking as one that succeeded in all this, folks. I'm talking as one who learned by the school of hard knocks sometime. But we worked at it. Number 10, they need to be taught the dangers of procrastination. They need to be taught the dangers of procrastination. They need to be taught the dangers of procrastination. Chapter 20 and verse number 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. My father-in-law is here tonight. Did you ever have to work when it was cold outside? Or hot? I can remember passing by the farm maybe 3 or 4 times in living out there 10 years, going up on Saturday night, 9:30, 10 o'clock for some reason. Why I would go there, I don't know. But I mean, this man was out grinding feed. 9:30, 10 o'clock on Saturday night. So we'd have to grind on Sunday. Folks, it's too cold. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get to it next week. It's too hot. I'm too tired. It's not that important. You know what all those are? None of those are reasons. They're all excuses. They're all excuses about doing a job now. The wise man does not put off till tomorrow what can and should be done today. You've heard that. I'm talking about building character in the kids. And fellas, as hard as it is, especially if you have boys, you gotta let them work with you on projects. It slows you down. It takes you 3 times longer to do what you could do by yourself. But they need to learn how to scrape the bottom of the mower deck, clean it up, grease the zerts, change the oil, and the only way they're going to learn to do that is if they get down there with you. And I mean, let them sweat and knock stuff off and beat the stuff and get the thing clean. And I mean, make them scrape and scrape and scrape and sweat and work with you. If it takes you 5 hours instead of 3, that's not wasted time. That's 2 more hours of investing in your son. Do it with them. And then when you teach them how to do it, you can go punch your gun. All right, let's pray together. Let's stand, please. Thank you for listening.